Hello and welcome to The Bottom Line. This podcast examines the everyday business and finance issues faced by closely held and private businesses. We hope to provide you with news you can use in what we like to think of as a jargon-free zone. I'm your host, Dave Plasko, and with us today is Tim Schuster, a manager in Eisner Amper's Private Business Services Group. Tim, good to see you.
Dave, it is a pleasure to see you as well.
So for this particular podcast, Tim, I want to use a real-life example that happened to me because I think it's interesting and it may apply to other people. So prior to me starting Eisner Amper 2+ years ago, and when I left my other position, I had a month or two in there, some time to kill, and I took on a couple of freelance writing assignments.
Okay, yep.
For a couple extra bucks. So just this past week, I had gotten a letter from the New Jersey Division of Labor, and they were inquiring as to my time or what I had done as far as my capacity as a freelancer.
Mm-hmm.
So, my first thought was, oh, my God, a letter from the state.
Always freaks everybody out.
Yeah, they're auditing my taxes. I forgot to pay taxes on the freelance income. And, I was envisioning myself in that bright prison orange uniform.
By default, you just automatically go to that negative mindset.
Right,
you
know? Right. So I went to my information in my file at home and found the year that I did the freelance, and it was only three assignments. So thankfully, I looked at the tax return and I had paid tax, or I had declared the income on my taxes. So that made me feel better. So I was just wondering, I think I know what they were after and what they were looking into. Not so much me, but my classification under the company that I was freelancing for. But walk me through it. What's the notice? What are they trying to do? What's the end game? Who does this impact? Clarify.
Of course, it would be my pleasure. So, by default, the how you got that notice and you're thinking to yourself right away, you went to that. Yeah. I'm going to jail. Yeah. Sort of. It's just by default always.
I said
everyone,
goodbye to my wife and
you're
kids.
Like, guys, I'll see you later. You know, your husband's going to jail here.
Yep.
The first thing that everyone should just take away from your story especially is when you get a notice, no matter what the notice is, just don't by default assume that there's going to be a problem for you. The way that any jurisdiction, whether it's the IRS or the state, sends out notices is not in the most user-friendly manner. And it makes it sound like that you're in trouble. But specifically what was occurring with your personal situation is the Department of Labor wanted to see if you should be classified as opposed to an independent contractor to being a employee of where you were doing your freelance work from. You know, the DOL always comes in. They want to just make sure. And this actually has been going on now, I want to say, for the past few years because there's differing classifications of what you could be deemed as an employee versus you being deemed as a contractor.
And what does it matter to the Department of Labor whether I'm classified as an independent contractor or an employee for the company?
So if you're an employee of the company, the DOL wants to make sure because, you're going to be paying your payroll taxes, you're going to be paying your state, your family leave tax, your state unemployment tax, disability taxes. You know, if you're an employee of that company, you'll be paying all that. As independent contractor, you're evading all those things. Now, if you're an employee of a company, there's specific rules that companies need to abide by. You know, if you're working X number of hours, you have to supply you with health insurance. You have to offer you this, offer you that, fringe benefits. Where if you're a contractor, you don't get any of those benefits, and the actual employer just has to pay you whatever you guys agreed to, and you're done. And then you do that on your own. Okay. So a lot of companies kind of look at contracting as a way to have them save money because they don't have to offer you all these extra benefits that employees get where they're just paying you, say, a couple grand to do something and it's just cheaper for them in their mind.
So the DOL is looking to find those companies who are either unscrupulous or made a data entry error and classified someone incorrectly with no malice. But that's what they're trying to find.
It's a big topic. There could be malice or not malice depending upon how a company structures themselves. But for their purposes, the DOL just wants to make sure that if you're working for a company, really things to look for are if you're working full-time for a company, and let's say it's 40 hours a week for a whole year, and they classify you as a contractor, it is a very difficult argument to say that you are not an employee.
Right.
And the idea is, if you're a contractor, they're not your boss. You know, they're your boss for that assignment, but you're your own boss, right. And you can work for different companies. So if you're working multitude of hours throughout the course of weeks, months, could be even years, it depends on your contract. If that is the case, then the DOL can come in and definitely switch your classification. And you are correct, by the way, too, thinking this, that the company themselves are really what they're looking at to make sure that they classify you appropriately. Now, if you're a contractor and they need you to be an employee, that's going to switch. So instead of you being issued a 1099, you'd be issued a W-2 form. Okay. You know, and then you're going through. And then they have to administratively do all the payroll functions, offer you benefits, you know, because you're not going to work there if they don't offer you those benefits, you know, the health insurance and all that good stuff.
So if you're... if you're someone who's at a company who they've classified as an independent contractor, but in fact you should have been classified an employee, will the Department of Labor go after the company for back taxes, enforce penalties?
Oh, they could. I mean, they could go back and look at different things. The statutes are there. So, I mean, it all depends on the audit. If it's something that, like, for your example, you know, that was a one-time deal, you know, they'll switch. They could switch you over and then go after them for that information. But it all situational based and depends on the cases.
Yeah. I'll tell you something that's interesting, too, is that, you know, periodically I check my LinkedIn page and see who viewed your page.
Of course.
I recognize, you know, I looked and I saw some names, and then I saw a name on the LinkedIn page who had viewed my profile. I said, why does that name sound familiar? Lo and behold, it was the name of the auditor on the letter that I had gotten from the Department of Labor. So, you know, they are definitely, and I'm sure the IRS is too, they're definitely looking at people's social media in any kind of investigative situation.
There is no doubt about that they are. Always remember this, whatever you put online can be found.
Yeah.
So DOL, and actually a DOL audit's a great example where they do that. I mean, I've heard of instances, not just for yourself, but clients that we service here in the firm where they are looking at Facebook, LinkedIn, because you're putting that information out there for there to be.
Sure.
And
it
is complete fair game. So if you're putting in, so here's a great example. So where you were the contractor for the three assignments, if you put on your LinkedIn that you were working there for five years.
Which I did. Well, I didn't do that, but I put in there that's part of my experience.
Yes, which is perfectly okay. There's no harm, no foul.
Yeah.
But if you put on your LinkedIn that you worked there for 5 years and they come in and say, wait a second, hold on, this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
The company's saying you did three assignments, X, Y, and Z thing and paid you as a contractor. Yeah. But your LinkedIn says you were there for 5 years.
Yeah.
Something's not jiving here.
Right.
And they will investigate that. I mean, I've actually heard of instances where they send questionnaires to you, who's the contractor, and says, it says on your social media outlet that you worked at this X, Y, and Z company for 5 years. I need you to provide X, Y, Z, and Q things for us to look into. But, everything.
Big Brother's watching,
all
right?
The time. Yeah. But you're doing the same thing, too, because you're able to see who's looking at your profile.
Right, sure.
But at least kind of gauge you for that. But just as a forewarning to our audiences, always know what's on your LinkedIn.
Right.
You know, just be careful what you – LinkedIn, Facebook, anything
online. The internet's
online,
forever.
Internet is forever.
Yeah.
You put it up there, it is completely there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks, Tim, for making me feel a little better
on this.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And the valuable information, because if it's happening to me, it's happened to a lot of other people.
And it's going to just increase as the years are progressing.
Right. And as states need to plug budget deficits.
Oh, yeah, that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
And it's interesting you bring this up, too. So with the new Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, there's instances where being an independent contractor might benefit you as a person as opposed to an employee. That could be something we can talk about another day. But this is going to come up even more now with the whole changes in the tax reform. How do you classify someone who's working for you? Are they an employee? Are they a contractor? You know, or is there ways for creativeness, I want to say, to this whole thing? So I have a feeling as it is right now, there's an uptick. It's going to just increase even more, especially as we go through filing seasons for the next few years. You're going to start seeing more and more of these audits appearing.
Well, thanks for the information.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Thanks for listening to The Bottom Line as part of the Eisner Amper podcast series. If you have any questions or there's a topic you'd like us to cover, email us at contact@eisneramper.com and visit eisneramper.com for more information on this and a host of other topics. And join us for our next Eisner Amper podcast when we get down to business.